have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm here with Jay Cranda. Welcome, Jay, to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm pumped. We keep on getting this, and so I just want to make, I want to say this very clear. Dave, who we're going to be introducing just in a moment here, I'm drinking some coffee, and immediately thinks it looks like moonshine. And I just want to make it clear, anybody watching on our YouTube channel, anybody watching, we don't have a lot of people watching right now, but anybody watching, this is cold coffee, okay? This is just straight black cold coffee as God intended. But anyways, I just had to get that off my chest.
We'll address this, you know, offline probably with Jay. Jay does that. We do have accountability. We have friends around him. We're dealing with these things. And so Jay, we'll work on that later. I'm so excited about this conversation we're going to have today. We've looked forward to this for some time, and Dave's been a friend for a while and doing some incredible things. But before we get into that, Jay, we have an ask of our folks, you know, the person that we both stalk, Gary V, says we're going to right hook today. So we've got a big announcement on the back end of the show. But here's our ask. If you're driving right now, if you could pull over, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing. And if you could leave a review on iTunes, we always ask that like in the little show bumper, and people always ignore the show bumper. But us personally, it would make our day if you would just leave a review on iTunes. It goes a long way. We're kind of, you know, this is an experiment for us in many ways of learning podcasting and understanding how significant reviews are and helping other people find the podcast. It's a big deal. So if you would just take a minute, leave a review. You can be honest. We don't care if it's a 5-star review. Just leave a review. That would be beneficial and help others. And so we do this and want to help church leaders maximize social media and lead this conversation. So that's our ask. Anything, Jay, any other ask, that you, any maybe guilt you could add to people to make sure they review?
No. No, if you want to leave a review and talk about how great I am and maybe say the second co-host is not, like, that would be okay.
Yeah, like, we love Jay Cranda and the other guy. That's good. Well, let's get into our interview now that we've had that moment. Aussie Dave Adamson, for the social media pastor, social media director. I don't know exactly your title, Dave. Will you share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, I'm the social. My official title is the social media director at North Point in Atlanta. I'm also a pastor on staff, so my role is pastoral also. And I basically oversee all of the social media accounts for the 6 Atlanta churches of North Point Ministries. That's Andy Stanley's church. Came into this role about a year and a half ago. Came into this role very weirdly, actually. I wasn't hired as this, but I was hired as a media producer and was doing that. And in a 3-month review that I did, Andy, at North Point, you don't get reviewed as a staff member, you review the organization. Wow. And you always get told that Andy reads every single one. And I wrote it thinking, oh yeah, he might read it, I don't know. But turns out he does. And so I was quite blunt and honest about a couple of things, including social media. And a week later, I got an email from him saying, hey, I'd like to have a meeting. And I honestly thought, oh, I'm going to get fired here. I was too honest. He called me into a meeting and we discussed social media strategy for an hour. And next minute I knew he'd created this new position for me.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So what was that journey? So you went from being in video to then having a new job. And then where'd you even begin in a new role like that in a massive church like North Point?
Well, yeah, it is a massive undertaking. And when I first stepped into that role, you know, it was all over the place and there was zero strategy. And I remember I'd been in the role for about a week and I came home one night and my wife said to me, hey, how's the new role going? And I said, you know what? I feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I know exactly what I need to do. I just don't know where to start. And he said to me, please don't ever share that publicly. And I said,
oh, and now you have.
Well, you said nobody was watching this. So
that's true.
On YouTube.
Oh,
only.
Gosh.
But on Pod, yeah, we got. We,
you can edit, right?
Sure.
We'll think about that. Yeah. You can send it to you online. Just kidding.
So I started into this role, and as I said, we really had nothing strategy-wise. So I spent the first 6 months asking more questions than I tried to answer, trying to pull it all together. And we're not like a lot of multi-site churches that have one account. Like I know my friend Chris Dunnigan at New Springs. You know, New Spring in South Carolina has like about 45 campuses now, but they only have one Facebook page. We, on the other hand, have multiple. Every church has a Facebook page. Every church has a Twitter account. Every church has an Instagram account. And then inside those churches, there are subsets. You know, students will have their own Instagram and Snapchat and et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of oversee the strategy of the whole thing, but I also, you know, consult with all the people at the campus level who are doing the posting and things like that.
Yeah. So because you kind of inherited it, How do you rein it in? I think that's where, so a lot of churches don't even grab a hold of social media until it's out of control. How did you begin to rein it in? And I imagine you probably didn't make many friends in the process. How did you navigate that? Cause it's a sticky area.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say the friendship thing, because really it was totally relationship based. I had to get to know all of the people who were doing the posting and earn their trust. That's really what it was all about. So for me, it was a whole bunch of one-on-one conversations, taking people out to coffee and casting a vision for what it could be. And then back having the numbers that back that up, quite frankly. You know, we run a lot of stats and we do a lot of analytics. So when the numbers start to pack up, back up the thing that you've been saying or the vision that you have, then people start to, you start to earn that trust. And it was slow going. And we're still, you know, we're still making progress there. We're still learning things. You know, I often say we kind of make it up as we go, and something will happen one day that we didn't expect, and we have to make that up as we go. So we're flying the plane as we build the plane.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a great connection there with social media. And that's the way it should be, I think.
Yeah, it's exactly. So when I stepped into this role, really it was a lot of 3D conversations about a 2D world. Mm-hmm. And what I've started to do over the last 18 months is flip that around, because what I'm trying to teach people is that we want to make that 2D world of social media 3D by having people come to our churches, come to our events, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
So I was curious. So with the main channel, let's say like, you know, whatever that means, and probably even that language might not be familiar even in your context. Maybe you guys don't think of it that way. But is there a channel that you control or a campus you control the posting on directly?
Yeah, great question. So yes, I do. I control the physical campus of Browns Bridge Church. That's our third biggest campus and our most furthest north in Georgia campus. I also now control the North Point Online social media channels. So I'm posting to all their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you know, also listening to all of their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which is the key part of the role, really.
Yeah, and so I'm just curious on the campus maybe you control, what is a typical Monday through Sunday? Do you have a schedule, or do you have some kind of like narrative flow or some sort that you kind of work with?
Yeah, obviously it depends on the week and depends what events we've got coming up. Typically on a Monday, I try to map out all of the events and post the schedule of all the events to Facebook in the Facebook page scheduler. I'll use Buffer to push all of our Twitter stuff out and schedule all of that. But then, you know, Instagram, I'll eventually come up with some sort of scheduling tool, I believe. That's what I'm praying to Jesus for, that they will eventually come up with a scheduler for that. Hey, they just came out with multi-site use. So, you know, you can have multiple accounts on that. So that's one step in the right direction. So I do that Monday, Tuesday, typically Tuesday, Wednesday-ish, I'm speaking with ministry leaders. You know, what is it that you want to push out there? What information do we need to have? And then on Thursday, and then it's dissecting that information and really pushing out in story form. I have a very clear vision and mandate that we don't want to push out graphics or promote events. It's that Gary V stuff, right? We want to give, and then ask for something. Mm-hmm. So I'm always figuring out new ways to do that. And it's a training process with those ministries and those department leaders. And then, you know, Thursdays is a lot of just mapping out what's going to come up on Sunday. I have Friday, Saturday typically off. And then on Sunday, it's game day for us. Sunday is all about responding to people in as quick a time mm-hmm. as possible. And I've got a team of volunteers that help me run that on a Sunday. And I use a bunch of various apps and things to help stay on top of that response rate and that response time to make sure that on game day, we are providing the best possible customer service.
Yeah. Let's talk about your team a little bit. Is, you know, even staffing wise, where do you fit within the organization? Do you have other staff members? And then how do you integrate volunteers? I think that's the biggest question with social media. Is how do you integrate volunteers into your social media strategy?
Yeah, we can get straight to the volunteers because I don't have a team.
Okay.
North Point doesn't have a communications team. Where I sit in the organization, I'm kind of an anomaly. I come under service programming, which is not
interesting.
It's a weird bit into service programming, but I report directly to a service programming director.
Okay.
And I guess that's purely because, you know, it's outward facing communication.
Yep.
I would say that that's probably the driving force there, but I don't have anybody staff wise who are working with me. I try to see myself as I'm somebody who's serving all the other department heads and I'm serving them. From a volunteer point of view, I've got, at the campus that I own social media for, mm-hmm. I've got a couple of volunteers, one key volunteer who does a bunch of stuff for me, to push the ball forward. He listens, he posts, he does reports to our directors. So here's a good example. Our middle school is called Transit. He tracks the transit leaders, all the transit coaches and small group leaders. He just listens to them on social media and then he provides a report to their pastors that says, hey, this person's got this life event on, it might be good to reach out to them. And so he does that on Thursdays, and that's getting awesome traction. So he does a lot of that listening for me. And then on Sundays, him and I sit in a room together and literally write responses to people so that every question gets answered and every incoming post gets an acknowledgement.
Have you guys ever, I was curious because we haven't done this, and I know some people have experimented. I know there's software out there like a help desk type of software where you can do email tweets that will pull everything in. Have you guys ever messed with anything like that to kind of aggregate a little bit more?
We use Sprout Social, and that pulls everything from multiple channels and multiple accounts. So for example, it will pull in, we've got six churches, it will pull all comments, direct messages, tweets, retweets from every campus, from every channel into one inbox. And I've got that on my phone. I've got it on my computer. So I can track all of that, or I can separate it out to just the campus that I'm at or the campus that I'm focusing on for the day. That is a huge, huge help.
So why do you use Buffer? Yeah. Doesn't Sprout Social do what Buffer does as well? Or am I not?
It does. No, it does. I just really like the interface of Buffer better than Hootsuite or better than anything else I've seen.
Yeah.
It's just an easy way for me to manage it. I literally only use it for Twitter. For a bunch of different reasons, but Twitter is it, and just that interface is so good.
Wow, you just hurt my feelings. I love Hootsuite. So. Oh,
sorry. It's kind of like, you know, Fender Gibson. It's that rivalry, right?
You said that so, you acted like it was so good. Like I felt like emotion. Like that.
I'm trying to impress that one person who's watching on YouTube.
That's funny.
I want people to know we are trying really hard on YouTube. So if you go to our YouTube channel, we have clips. We're going to have clips of this. We're going to probably clip out that. We're going to have a whole single clip to the whole nudist with the mosquito thing. Okay.
Oh my,
we're going to have a 2-minute clip. Okay.
You should illustrate it. Illustrate it. Turn it into a cartoon. That would be awesome.
Yeah. We're going to call Jason Kasten or whatever. Yeah. We can use his illustrator guy. So what, one thing we heard actually on Twitter, somebody had sent us, it was DJ, the person who started this.
He
said something that the creator of the Social Media Church podcast, he had said something that you had said somewhere that you're going to have a 5-minute response rate to anything on social.
24 hours a day.
Yes, it is true.
And you don't live in Australia anymore. So you have to do that on this time.
Well, see, if I was living in Australia, it would be different because Australia's in the future. You know, they're 15 hours ahead. So anything that came through, I would have answered before it was sent.
That's a good point.
Now get his illustrator to illustrate that point.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's our goal. You know, I get asked often, what is the things that you track? What do you analyze? And, you know, I know a lot of people who will track reach and who will track engagement, and I do all of that. But the key goal that I have is to get a 100% response rate to anybody who direct message us, inboxes us, anything like that on social media. I want everybody to get a response, and I want that done in 5 minutes or less, especially on game day, which is Sunday for us, especially on a Sunday. And there's a reason for that. You know, we used to have, it used to be a 50% response rate in 42 hours. And I always thought, well, put it this way, if you and I were driving to a North Point campus for the very first time, never been, we're driving there separately, and we Facebook message the church and say, hey, which exit do I get off? Only one of us is going to get a response, and it's going to be 2 days too late for us to actually go to the church. So I want to get that down. So our Brownsbridge campus, for example, is 100% in 3 minutes. So same scenario, if we're driving and we want to know what exit to get off, you know you're going to get that answer. It's guaranteed, and you will show up at the church. And so that's where a lot of that comes from.
Good. And so you use Sprout Social as your tool that's pulling in all the feeds, and you respond through Sprout Social. Is that right? Okay. And they've got a great mobile app. Is that what you're using then?
The mobile app is fantastic, and I use that a lot. Typically, I'll use the desktop. I use the mobile app in a pinch just because it's not as, it's a lot more cumbersome to type with my thumbs and with all my fingers. But typically on a Sunday, I sit there with Sprout Social open, and I'll sit there with Facebook, Twitter, and all of it just open, ready to go. And it just depends which is going to be easiest on the day, depending on the incoming traffic.
Yeah, I love that value of that type of response to just the reason why that somebody is reaching out, and that's a touch point. I've been noticing this more and more, and I don't know how long it's been up there, but Facebook pages have been more clear on your response rate to things.
Yeah, so
like you have an hour response rate or whatever, or you know, and I've noticed that because I didn't read that they were going to start doing that, but I noticed that on a couple pages that I was getting back to people within, I think, an hour, and they were saying something like, and they made it green. It was like you're doing good. And I was like, oh wow, I'm glad I know that. We haven't done this personally, but like we have with my day job, the online campus at Saddleback, we have email and stuff coming from all sorts of places. And we've talked about using like a Zendesk or a help desk because it tells you that response rate. Yeah. You know, if you aggregate everything through their servers, but that's such a huge thing. I love that heart that if somebody's reaching out, you want to connect. That's a touch point. That's
so huge. It's totally a heart thing from our point, and especially from my point of view. You know, I'm a big believer that, you know, back in the times of the apostles and the times of Paul, he used the technology of his day to pass to the people that were hundreds of miles away from him, and the technology of his day was handwriting. Now, for everybody who's under like the age of 30, handwriting is when you get a pen and you actually move your wrist up and down while pressing it on a piece of paper. For everybody else, you know.
What's
we all know what handwriting is, but
what's cursive?
Papyrus. So he used the technology of his data passed to people. I see social media as an opportunity for us to do exactly the same. We use the technology of our day, social media, to reach and pass to people, and that has to happen in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I love your heart for pastoral care with that, and even that social media is a ministry tool. And I think that's where so many ministries miss it, is they see it as a marketing promotional tool. Yes. And they're like, why is nobody on here? Nobody paying attention? Well, because you're just trying to get them to show up at church when you could be ministering to them right where they are 24 hours a day, 7 days
a week. You know, as people in the church, we get to connect with people for 1 hour every week on a Sunday in church. Through social media, we can stay connected for the other 167 hours. Huge. One of the first things that I said when I got into this position at North Point was, we've got to stop using social media as a megaphone and start using it as a telephone. It's not about one-way communication. It's about two-way communication. And that has evolved over the last 18 months, where we do a lot of giving. We give people stuff. We we get Starbucks cards and we fill them with $100 worth of stuff, and then we send the barcode out by Instagram and just say, hey, coffee's on us today, you know, with no agenda. And pushing that through ministry leaders and things has been really fun to see them catch that vision, to catch that idea that it's not about being a digital billboard. It's not about being a megaphone. It's about being a telephone and starting a conversation. It's been fun.
I love that. So I was curious, what are you guys messing around or doing anything on Snapchat right now? Has that been something that you guys have invested any time or any ideas on there?
Not the main campuses. The main campuses don't use Snapchat. And the reason for that purely is I keep saying, once we've got Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram working really well, we'll dive into something else. We played around a little bit with Periscope, a year ago. Where is Periscope now?
That's a great question.
Right? Somebody should leave an answer for that on your YouTube comment. But our students will use Snapchat quite often. And they do that all internally, depending on what they've got on for that given week.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that totally. Hey.
I'm getting so excited. This is such a fun conversation. Okay. Here's a question I have with the ministries and from a management standpoint. So now that you're in this role, and it used to probably just be anybody do whatever you want. It's all there. Just create an account, use your own account, do whatever you want. Yeah. As you come in, where do you balance control and just freedom in social media? So from maybe from a campus standpoint, where do you control and where do you just say have at it? And then ministry, same way, like with student ministries, do you just say, you know, good luck, go get them,
That's a really good question, and it probably comes back to our philosophy as a multi-site church. We're not a lot of multi-site churches are one church, multiple locations.
Yeah.
The way that Andy has set up North Point is we are just multiple churches, and so the phrase that I push out quite often when I'm talking about this sort of thing is autonomous alignment when it comes to social media. We want you to have autonomy, but there are times when we're going to want alignment. And sometimes that alignment looks different depending on what the issue or the situation might be. But ultimately, we want you to have that autonomy. So when it comes to the main church accounts, you know, I try to provide some level of alignment and consult with, hey, this would be great content. Hey, this is what I'm seeing in our numbers and our tracking. Maybe you should try this instead. But ultimately, the person at that campus who is posting for that social as part of their job, they can just say, no, I don't want to do that. Or I do, you know, I want to do this instead. And that's our model. That's the tension that we live in. It's not a problem to be solved. It's a tension to be managed. When it comes to students and high school and middle school, things like that, I'll often sit in on creative meetings with them when they're coming up with strategies and proposals and campaigns. But then ultimately, they'll execute it themselves. And they have a look and a style. And I'll talk to them about what that look might be, what the style of the ministry might be, as I would with the campuses as well. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's great. That's, you know, I think, and I love that you basically aligned your social media strategy with your church vision direction. Because, you know, multi-sites generally are what you described, one church, many locations. And so that would probably lean towards the side of control, but because of the autonomy that you organizationally have, you've kind of set your social media strategy connected to that vision. And I think, you know, social media folks are almost, I would say, rebellious in nature, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And we want to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's so key, though, that we align our social media strategy with the overall church strategy. And so I think we've got to be a little bit on the edge, but I think we do have to have a connected strategy and not just kind of doing our own thing all over the place.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. It's, you know, we're the ones who wear t-shirts into the office. We're the ones who drink moonshine on a podcast.
I was told by a mentor, you know, who's in technology and, you know, anyways, very successful. So do you ever wear a collar? And he's like, no, absolutely not. He's like, the minute if you're in technology and you wear a collar to a meeting, you've lost all credibility in the tech space. And so
they think you got for a job interview.
Exactly.
Yeah. So That, so I think just out of respect for your time, I wanted to ask real quick, you talk about Instagram, and I've seen this, you're using Instagram in a very personal way, in a very native to its environment. So tell the everybody who's listening on our podcast, not on YouTube, but listening to our podcast, tell how are you using Instagram?
Yeah. My Instagram a year and a half ago was literally just me taking photos of my food and all sorts of things like that, wherever I might be at a given time. And it was a typical sort of Instagram feed. But my youngest daughter has dyslexia, and I used to get up with her every morning, get her ready for school. And I just started teaching her some scripture stuff through pictures and images that I take. I'm a photographer. And so I would show her a picture and relate that to a Bible story or something along those lines. And I started to realize that she was getting it. She was starting to understand it, and she was starting to memorize it, and she could quote the scripture later on. And so I realized that there was a connection there between images and what I was teaching her. You know, there's a theologian who said that images are the language of the 21st century. And I 100% agree with it. I saw that with my daughter. And so I just started posting these pictures on my Instagram account with a Bible verse attached to it. And then the Bible verse blew out to a little bit of a devotion. And I started to just teach. My goal was, I want to teach her the Bible through my photos. So I just wrote it all down. And now I say to her, you know, when I'm long gone and I'm buried and everything, she'll be able to learn everything that I know about the Bible from my Instagram account, because that'll be up there forever.
I love that's amazing. That is awesome. That's awesome. And yeah. I think the thing that I immediately think of is, a lot of times people will schedule content, you know, especially with social media, and they'll push it to all these other channels. Yeah. And you, how you're using it natively for, obviously, you know, you kind of picked an audience and you're going after it, which I love. And I love that heart. You know, again, heart. I love this idea of, you know, you only have so much time, and you're using your time wisely and very directly. But I think a lot of churches, you know, to reevaluate how you are pushing content to all these different channels, not only just pushing content, but also listening. There's so much there. Yeah. But I love that. My last question. Have you downloaded Peach? I just got to ask this. The Peach app?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah. Don't worry. No. You don't need to.
We're winding this down, and I apologize, but I've got so many questions more I want to ask, but I do have one more that I really want to hear that's kind of backtracking a little bit. But I'd love to hear from North Point's perspective, or your perspective, how are you measuring success in your social media strategy and how... Yeah. And maybe how are you measuring it, and how do those you report to measure it?
Dude, I honestly, when you set that question up, I thought you were going to ask me if I like the Outback restaurant. That's where I thought you were headed with this. So I'm glad it was on topic.
I ate there this week.
I was debating between. So if you want to answer that one first.
And then I could tell. I could see it. I could see the cog sitting over. He wants me to do the Outback ad. Get on down to the Outback for our signature sirloin.
That was too good.
Product placement. How I measure success is really around the main thing is that response rate and that response time. Okay. That is really the key component. You know, there are other things I look for. I look at reach, but typically I'm looking at the reach of a post purely from the point of view of, was that successful? Should we keep doing that sort of post?
Yeah.
And there are strategies around how we try to get extra reach. You know, one of those would be we try to post more question marks than periods, and that has helped our reach. So we're tracking that sort of stuff. But from a success point of view, the stuff that I'm looking at is, are we responding to everybody who contacts us? Are we responding in appropriate time? Because that will help reach ultimately, and it will help us get new followers ultimately. All of those things are so linked and so combined that I know it has to start with what we're doing to have those conversations with people, instead of just having one-way megaphone conversations. Does that make sense?
That's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, Dave, thanks so much for being on the podcast and the things you're doing and leading the way and setting, establishing a model that so many others can learn from and kind of doing that learning out loud. And so as we each, you know, are building different planes all over the place that are flying together, we appreciate the leadership you've provided and serving so many other churches too, and sharing your thoughts and ideas. We appreciate you taking this time and everything you're doing outside of this podcast as well.
Yeah, not a problem. And look, seriously, I have a heart for the Capital C Church. So if there's anything that I can do to help support, serve other churches, I'm more than happy to do that. And your listeners can contact me on social media. It's typically all just Aussie Dave, A-U-S-S-I-E Dave. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Aussie Dave. On Facebook, it's Aussie Dave Adamson. So feel free to, if you've got questions, if there's anything I can help with, you know, we're an open book. We give everything away. We don't want to have a secret that is making us successful. We want everybody to be successful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're going to put all
notes. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Jay.
yeah. We're going to put everything. Really, I think it's maybe it is moonshine. I don't know. I'm like doubting myself. We're going to put everything in the show notes. So, you know, to link back to follow him on Instagram. There's definitely some powerful stuff there. Tweet him. He has one of the coolest biopics when he's a speaker somewhere and all social media, very creative use. So if you haven't seen this biopic, this profile pic, you have to see this thing. So go right now to Instagram or to Twitter. You can, the biopic, yeah. So anyways, thanks again, Dave, for engaging. For everybody else, go to socialmedia.church to have show notes, to explore more. We got a blog up there. You can join in at a live viewing of this. And also, we have a social media basics course that you can check out. So thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.